Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacey Chalemi, and I'm very excited because today we have one of our special guests. She is a part of our podcast community. It's Whitney Prude. She is a pharmacist and she's a health coach, and she has her own podcast on our station. So take a look at her podcast. She has some great information on how to lose weight, how to keep yourself healthy, nutrition, exercise, you name it. She talks about it. So if you really want to get your overall health intact, listen to her podcast, and she's here with us today, and she's going to talk about nutrition. So I'm very excited because, you know, no matter how much you know about nutrition, there is you always have to keep your mind open because you always learn from everybody else. So tell everybody a little about yourself, what you do, and some of the important factors about nutrition and about losing weight and staying healthy and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, Whitney Prude, I am a board certified clinical pharmacist. I was working at the Mayo Clinic for about 8 years before I jumped ship completely and dove into my own business. So that's pretty, it's been pretty exciting to dive into health coaching. I am a certified health coach. I'm a certified nutrition coach. And really and truly, you know, when I look at the diet and weight loss industry, it's incredibly frustrating. Because it's like I guess I kind of come from a unique perspective where I have been trained in and worked in the medical field. And so I can see a lot of the stuff in the medical field, but I can see a lot of the holes. You know, I can see how it functions, and there's great things. You know, it's like not downplaying the medical field, but there's great things there, but there's also a lot of holes in really actually helping people with nutrition and weight loss. So really and truly, my goal with what I do, nutrition, weight loss, and really helping people to get to their health goals is trying to fill in the gaps. And with nutrition, a lot of times, I mean, we think about with diet and weight loss, you look at the diet and weight loss industry, we look at ourselves, it's like, okay, I got to get healthy, I got to lose weight. And we go directly to food. We go to food, we go to exercise, right? Or we go to some crazy quick fix diet, you know, that's going to get the, you know, trick your body into losing a bunch of weight. But the problem is that all of these things that we're trying to do, these bandages that we're putting on, these quick fixes, all of these things actually contradict basically the psychology of how humans are actually successful and how our bodies from a biological standpoint are actually successful at getting weight off and maintaining it. And so really my goal is to help people not only to understand nutrition and the science behind weight loss, but to make it a long-term thing. Like this isn't, I don't do quick fixes. Like, you know, it's like we dive into real solutions. What does it really actually take, even from a scientific level, psychological level? How does the human brain work? How do we actually help you to implement habits, improve your nutrition, change your lifestyle, and be able to maintain it for the rest of your life?
Exactly. And how are some of those ways? Because you know what? I find I get annoyed sometimes because like I find so many things on the market and they're all, you know, lose 40 pounds, lose 10 pounds, lose 15 pounds. And they make it sound so simple and so easy. And some of them throw in the money back guarantee. And, you know, and then you look up a lot of times I'll be curious and I'll look up the company's name and I'll put reviews on the end. And then all of a sudden you see all these, like a lot of negative reviews. Or you see people like trying to sell these products that you know are just, it costs a few dollars to make and they're selling it for $80 a bottle. $80 a bottle. You think about that, like, you know, how much you're spending, you know, in 1 year, you know, when there's so many healthy ways that you could do it, you know. And then there was people that I knew that went on these type of diets and they actually hurt their digestive system and, you know, from using these products. And then they ended up with more problems because, you know, it was hurting their digestive system, you know, and, you know, and then some people, they did some of these weight loss diets, you know, cut out all the sugar and, or, you know, do this and do that. And they lost the weight. And then all of a sudden, you know, how long can you eat carrots and celery? How long can you, you know, cut out every little bit of sugar in your life? And then as soon as they stop that, what they were doing, because it's impossible, people aren't going to be happy. They're going to go back to their old ways and they gain all the weight back. It's like a roller coaster ride. And then they're all upset again, you know? So maybe you can, you know, explain to people, what are some healthy ways and some changes that they can make in their lifestyle and their daily lifestyle that could have a humongous impact on their health and even help them, you know, because now the summer's coming, you know, nutrition, you need to be healthy and strong. You need good nutrition, but also, you know, what are some ways that people can maybe lose weight for the summer, maybe actually fit into the bikini and look in the mirror and have a smile on their face, you know? So what are some things they could do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, before I dive into some like tips and tricks, you first talked about this yo-yo, this roller coaster that people get stuck on. And I think it's important to talk about this because our bodies are designed to stay balanced.
Yes.
They're very smart. And ultimately they function in a way to help us to survive, to stay balanced, to restore energy balance. And a lot of times, so there are processes in our bodies and they have a specific way that they work and that they function. And when we start to try to change those and kind of trick the body into doing what we want it to do, even though it's kind of against the grain, right? There are repercussions. It's not that you just, you know, that it's like this, you know, you can lose all of this weight and expect your body to just be like, oh, now this is the new us, right? Yeah. We're throwing off our biological function and how our body has been used to functioning. So what actually happens is, so a lot of times, okay, we're dieting. Well, in order to lose weight, right, we're decreasing our calories. We're, you know, doing whatever these things are where we're consuming less food, essentially, right? You consume less food, less energy, and then you burn. And so essentially you lose weight. Well, what happens is when we start to decrease, and if you severely decrease, right, so that you're losing very quickly, your body starts to retaliate. It starts to say, hold on here. Like, what's happening? Like, you know, it's like we're thrown off and we need to get back to being balanced.
Right.
So we go on this diet and we start losing all of this weight and we're losing it super quick. Well, guess what? It's not just that you don't have enough willpower to do this forever. Your body is fighting against you and is going to get itself back to where it feels like it's supposed to be. So your appetite actually starts to increase. The things that you're restricting, right? Your willpower decreases because if you're completely restricting something, then you want it more. You think about it more. As you try to make these changes, if you don't do them in a way that is in line with how our brains function, you're actually setting yourself up for failure. And that's why, you know, you can find studies where they say 90% of people will regain the weight back after 2 years, or within 2 years, right?
Right.
So we don't think about, it's like, oh, just give me a quick fix. We don't think about the repercussions. You are setting yourself up for failure. You're putting all of this hard work in and your body's going to fight against you until it restores its energy balance back to where it was supposed to be.
100%. And, you know, it's funny because my body for the last 10 years, I've been trying to lose 10 pounds and my body has plateaued at one number, you know, and it goes up a couple of pounds, it'll go down a couple of pounds, but I have pretty much stayed within this one frame, you know. And it's like, no matter what I do, my body does not want to lose. I could cut back on food and then I looks like I lost a couple of pounds. And then a couple of days later, I'm back at the same weight. It's like my body keeps going to this one weight and it does not want to leave. And it's like, you know, we were talking about menopause before, and it even gets more struggling when you get menopause because you automatically put on a few extra pounds, and then you're trying to lose those few extra pounds, and your body chemistry is changing. And I just saw a product, I'm not going to say the name, but I saw a product on the internet about losing weight and about, you know, for women who are going through menopause. And, you know, I looked on the ingredients and it was simple ingredients that we use. Really, if you're healthy, you're going to use it on a daily basis. Like, you have these things that are already incorporated in your diet. Maybe they have a supplement or two, but they're common supplements that, you know, nothing special, you know. And I was telling you, like, when I saw the bottle cost like $80, I was like, oh my God, you know. And it was just, but it was, you know, it's really, you know, when it comes to like nutrition, like, what do you say for people that are going through menopause and their body's changing and their metabolism is getting slower, and, you know, they notice some different changes, you know, because that's the first thing people, when you ask women, you know, what's going on and they talk about nutrition, they're like, my weight went up and I can't lose it, you know? And it's like, do you have any nutrition advice for people who are going through menopause? Like, some of the things they could do to maybe help them along?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And first of all, to the women that are going through menopause and are having, you know, all sorts of symptoms, like, bless you, you know, it's like, hang in there. It's challenging. It's not that you're crazy. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you go to the doctor and you actually don't get that much help. There's, you know, and the unfortunate thing is that there's not really a cure-all, you know. It's like, for some people, hormone replacement therapy might make sense, but for a lot of people, it doesn't really. And so it's just, you know, how do you get yourself to a point where you can function as best you can, through all of these symptoms and through all of these changes in life. Right. And then, as you said, so with menopause, basically what happens is, yes, you know, it's like, you have the hormonal changes, your metabolism is changing. So it's, you know, it's slowing, but that's not just menopause. It's also age, right? So we change with age. We're not quite as active. We don't keep as much muscle mass. So there's a lot of different factors that, as we're aging, right, it's impacting our metabolism. And then we put the hormones on top of it. So when we put the hormones on top of it with menopause, one of the biggest things that women absolutely hate is that when your estrogen decreases, your fat starts to center in your belly. And that's the one place that no woman wants weight. So it's frustrating, right? So everything, instead of distributing over your body like it may have 10 years ago, now everything's going to your belly. And that's where, you know, it's like, you're actually seeing it. It's like, my belly is just growing, and it's so frustrating. And then with the, you know, the metabolism aspects, then you can't lose like you used to be able to. So 10 years ago, you're like, oh, I did this diet, you know, I lost 10, 20 pounds, but now, you know, you do the same things and it doesn't work. Or you're eating the same and exercising the same as you did before, but now you're gaining, right? So your body has changed significantly. And the thing with menopause, so number one, what's really, really important, we kind of talked about this, of like, hey, you know, sometimes some of your, you know, vitamins, minerals, and that sort of thing can be off a little bit in your body, like, as you start going through these things. Yeah. For the most part, you can correct this with food, with proper nutrition. The majority of women don't need to actually take supplements. So if you can get yourself to a really, really healthy diet, with menopause, basically when we bring women, who are menopausal into our program. Now, first of all, there's never been a woman that we brought into our program who's menopausal that we haven't been able to help them to lose weight. Like, it is possible to lose weight while you're going through menopause. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's significantly more challenging. So we have to be really, really consistent, and we have to get all of the right things in place. We've got to get your nutrition on point. We've got to get your protein high. But we need to get you, you know, we need to get you the nutrients that you need. Okay. Yeah. And then the other factors. So, doing the exercise, but doing, you know, some strength training, just keeping you moving is really, really important. But surprisingly, stress is a huge, huge factor, and your sleep. They're even bigger factors. Like I said, 10 years ago, yeah, maybe you could sleep 4 or 5 hours a night and be fine. That's not going to work. Right? We have to get all of these factors into place. And it's pretty crazy. Like, as we really like take women through our program and monitor, you can actually see, I had one client in particular. It was like, it was so obvious, like she would be losing weight and then things would get really, really stressful. And even though she was still eating the same, like her weight would increase. And it was just based on stress. Like we were basically looking, her weight was like this stress meter. And she was so, so sensitive. So with menopause, basically, I mean, we have to find a sweet spot. We have to kind of figure out where your metabolism is and customize that to you, because you're not cookie cutter anymore, right? Your body is going through weird changes. And so, you know, finding your sweet spot with your body of like, what is that calorie goal that's actually going to get you into a deficit and allow you to lose? But then you have to be super, super consistent. And not getting discouraged, like you are going to bump up, but you've got to keep staying consistent because it will come back down. But it's just, it is a tough process, but it is possible. Just know you're not alone. You are not alone in this. Every woman goes through it, but it's not hopeless. It's not like, oh, I'm stuck, throw my hands up in the air. You can still get where you want to be.
Now, what do you think for women and even for men, like what do you think a good nutritional, you know, lifestyle is? Like, what would you suggest? Because some people don't know even where to start, you know, and I even have, you know, friends of mine that have been diagnosed with serious conditions and they just continue their unhealthy diets. Like, you know, maybe you can tell people what a healthy diet is. And it's not hard to incorporate. You can make changes. Like I've made changes, and in the beginning it was a little hard because you're used to your old habits. But once you get used to like living a certain way and you start getting used to being healthy and eating the right foods, your body actually, like from my own personal point of view, my body actually got really used to it. And then if I tried to eat something that was sweet, I didn't really like it anymore because I took away all that sugar out of my diet. And then, you know, and then sometimes like if things were like oily or heavy sauce, I didn't like it anymore because I was trying to eat so, you know, not bland, but I was using spices and herbs and stuff, but I wasn't like, you know, pouring on sauces and this and that. So then when I did, my body was having a hard time breaking down the food because it was like used to, once you go healthy, your body, it seems like it's hard for it to go back to like that hard work again, because it's been, you know, on this nice balanced road, you know? So to you, what do you think, you know, well, what do you think about my comment? And then what do you think a healthy diet, like how do people get started?
Well, when 100% our bodies will adjust, right? When we start giving our bodies the nutrients that it actually needs, we're getting our sleep, we're getting the nutrients through our nutrition. And you know, we get all of these things in place. That's what our body starts to want. And that's what our body starts to crave. So absolutely. Like if, you know, when you get used to cutting out sugar or you're no longer really eating fat or, you know, then you go out and you eat a burger and fries and you're like, holy crap. You know, it's like you feel it. But what you don't realize is that you used to always feel like that. And now you just feel so much better that you can feel the stark difference of you know, how your body feels when it's actually healthy and is getting the energy and nutrients that it needs, as opposed to filling it with crap food. Right. Mm-hmm. So 100%, it's so accurate. It really is. And a lot of times those cravings do start to go away when you really take care of yourself, when you're getting your sleep, when your stress level goes down, all of those things, your body just wants to be healthy when you allow it to be healthy. So that's just a, you know, comment on your first comment. And then in terms of eating healthy, so I'm not here to reinvent the wheel. There are decades and decades of nutrition research of what is a healthy human and how, you know, how do we get the nutrients that we need and how do we survive and how do we stay healthy? So I don't reinvent the wheel. And when I bring people into my program, I also don't reinvent the wheel. I follow nutrition science that, you know, that we have had for decades. And one little study where it's like, oh no, you know, we all freak out. And it's like, it's one little study is not enough to change decades of research. So what is actually eating healthy? Eating healthy is, you know, eating from all of our food groups. So you're getting your protein, you're getting your veggies, you're getting your fruits, right? And you are getting your carbs. I mean, your grains. And a lot of people think, oh, I have to cut out carbs.
Yeah, so many people think that.
Yeah, it is, like carbs are the devil. Now, there's a misconception. And the reason is because we consume an astronomical amount of carbohydrates in the US, okay?
Right.
And it's just because we have so much crap food. We have so much processed food. And granted, some of it tastes amazing. But the reality is that we always think, oh, I'm going on a low carb diet. The reality is that you're going on a healthy diet, because right. when you decrease your carbs to a moderately lower amount, that's actually like eating a balanced diet. Whereas usually we're used to consuming, you know, like 80% of our diets in carbohydrates.
Yeah, I know.
There's a misconception, right? So people are like, I'm going on a low carb diet, but you're going on a healthy diet. because we need carbohydrates. That's, right. You know, that's the number one source of how our bodies get energy.
Yes.
And so we need carbohydrates. We just need healthy carbohydrates.
Right.
So I like to just think of, like, you know, there's different things, you know, it's like, I look at like Harvard's recommendation. They have like a plate model, or there's, our, you know, our government, like plate, like the My Plate model. Mayo Clinic has a food pyramid. Right. And they're all essentially saying the same thing. You know, if you look at one of those plates, you've got your protein, you got your fruits and veggies, you've got your grain. Very right. small amount of sweets, you know, it's like in moderation. It's not like you have to completely cut it out of your diet for the rest of your life. You're not going to gain weight and be significantly unhealthy if you have like a small Snickers bar once a day. You know, it's like, that's not what's going to kill us. so just keeping, like, seriously, the basics, right?
Yeah.
It's like trying to incorporate the basics into your life, but the problem is that we try to incorporate it all at once. And this is the downfall, because when we think about human psychology and how our brains actually work, when you try to focus on more than one habit at a time. And I was just reading another book about this, of just really how our brains actually develop habits.
Yeah.
If you focus on more than one thing at a time, mm-hmm. what happens is, you flood. So your prefrontal cortex is really the part of your brain that is able to like pause and think through your actions, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and it slows down our limbic system, which is where like our emotions, our triggers, it's like food, yummy. I eat, right? It's just like super quick. And then our prefrontal cortex steps in and says, wait a second, let's think this through. Like, why are we making this decision? You know? So basically what happens is when we start to look at how the brain actually functions, if you try to incorporate and say, I'm going to focus on this, 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 and this, what happens is it floods our prefrontal cortex so much that it's still actually, our prefrontal cortex can't process fast enough because it's flooded with a lot of different things. And so the reaction still happens before we can pause and think through the decision that we're actually making. And so when you're trying to incorporate a ton of things at once, and you feel like I always fail, or I don't have enough willpower, like people beat themselves up about this. But the reality is like their brain's just functioning how it was designed to function.
Exactly. Oh, that's so true.
So what we have to do is we have to start thinking about, okay, how do our brains actually work and how do I actually be successful? If you're choosing one thing or two things and you're saying, I'm going to create two new habits, that's all that you have in your head, in your prefrontal cortex. When this comes up and when this comes up, I'm pausing, I'm thinking it through, like, you know, we're going to be aware of what we're doing. Then your prefrontal cortex can override your automatic reactions and your previous habits.
Right.
And it's the only way, honestly. So if you try to jump on board and say, I'm eating healthy, I'm exercising, I'm doing all of these things tomorrow that I haven't been doing today.
Yes.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Oh, I 100% agree. You know, I love to like study a lot of times entrepreneurs and like the ones that have become really successful. And I like to learn about how they think and how they, you know, what they went through to get to the point they did. And that was one of the things they said. They said they anytime they try to take more than one goal, more than and take on more than one thing, that's when failure came in. They said that the biggest way for success is to focus on one thing at a time. Once you get that accomplished, then you can take on something new. So it's basically what you just said. You know, even the richest entrepreneurs in the country have said the same thing. That's how they reached success, was through just focusing on one habit, one thing at a time. And they put all their energy into that one thing. And that's how they became successful, just like you said.
Yep. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's how our brains work. Like, you can't beat it. You can't say, oh, I'm going to be creative and I'm going to make it work a different way.
Yeah.
You can't. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Yeah. As much as you want it to, your brain is going to function how it was designed to function, and you can't beat it. So you got to play the game, and you have to do it in a way that human beings can actually be successful.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve, but one who genuinely cares about each player can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Right. And I've mentioned that to some people when I see them take on too much at a time, they've actually gotten offended. Like, you know, don't put a jinx on me or something like that. I'm like, well, no, it's impossible to do all that and think you're going to, you know, do outstanding. Maybe if you did one thing first and then you went to the next thing and the next thing, you know, but, and you know, it's funny when you say carbs too, because like, you know, like I was reading, like, you know, I love sweet potatoes, and people, and then I would, people that were, would say, oh, you can't have sweet potatoes. It's carbs. It's too many carbs. You're not going to lose weight. And then I would like, you know, I would say, well, you know, sweet potatoes are supposed to be healthy for you. Like, you know, and you know, so you are supposed, you know, they tell you, you know, you're supposed to have an adequate amount of carbs in your diet. It's, you know, it's part. And like you said, it will bring on, if you don't, it will bring on fatigue. And I've noticed if I don't have enough of carbs, too many carbs will make me tired, but too little carbs will make me tired also and feel fatigued.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's also in what chart carbs you're choosing, right?
Yeah.
A sweet potato is a complex carb. Even a potato is a complex carb. You're not eating a donut. You're not eating a piece of cake with a, you know, a bunch of frosting. You want to focus, you know, you're eating a moderate amount of carbohydrates, and they're complex carbohydrates. So they're not like coming into your system and just like shooting your blood glucose up. Right.
Yeah,
so, exactly. So you're eating carbohydrates that have other nutrients, that have other, you know, it's like if you're doing whole grains or whole wheat, you know, that type of, you know, those types of carbohydrates that also has the fiber. Right. And that's very, very beneficial and healthy for your gut. So there are so many benefits to having carbs. And the other thing is that the only form of energy that your brain can use is glucose. You have to have glucose to feed your brain with energy. So we have to have energy. We have to have the bottom line, like, you've got to have carbohydrates. It's important. And even if you look at, so there's different levels of nutrition, right? There's they call them like level 1 through 3, level 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
Level 3 is like when people are doing like those competitions, right? And they're chiseling and that sort of thing. But the reality is when you get, so initially when you're trying to do weight loss, you do want your carbs to be a little bit lower. But when you get to the point where you're actually like, you're working out really hard, you're building muscle, and you're requiring a lot of energy to be able to perform that, you have to have really high carbohydrates. So there's just a lot of misconceptions of what carbohydrates are and how much, you know, if you just cut them out that you'll lose weight. And for some people, if 80% of your diet is unhealthy carbohydrates, then you are going to lose weight. you know, that is true. That is a fact. But are you going on a diet? No, you're really not. You're just eating healthy. You're eating a healthy amount of carbohydrates.
Right. Exactly. And it's funny. I know somebody who goes into competition and they have to literally go down to nothing. Like they have to eat really strict, but they get a cheat day. And it's funny because when it's her cheat day, she's like all over the board. She's eating everything. And then when she finishes her competition, she goes back to her normal weight, because it's like, you know, as soon as she starts and, you know, living a normal lifestyle again, all that weight loss that she did, her body just reverts right back to her old weight.
Yep. 100%. And it's really not healthy to stay in those extreme, you know, you can do it for a short period of time. It is not healthy to do that long-term. Like, it's very detrimental to your body. So it's just, you know, it's finding that healthy balance. We don't want to overdo it, you know, but you can look healthy, you can be toned and that sort of thing. And you can have carbohydrates is the moral of the story.
Now, what about breakfast? There's like controversy with breakfast. Like some people say you need to have your biggest meal should be your breakfast. Some people say, you know, they like to have a protein drink during, you know, for breakfast and eat light and stuff like that. You know, what's your intake about having a healthy breakfast? You know, because there's like, you hear so much different things. And that's what I think makes weight loss so hard, is because you hear so many, controversy when it comes to, you know, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But what do you think about breakfast?
Yep. Yeah. Really good question. And I think some of the reason why people get really confused is because even what experts say and what guidelines kind of say about breakfast and the research, it's changed. You know, it changes as we learn new things. But it used to be, you know, it's like, oh, don't eat late at night, or don't, you know, it's like. But now they kind of take the approach of like a calorie is a calorie, right? It's like, if you're consuming more calories, right, you're going to gain weight. If you're in a deficit, you know, ideally you lose, but it's not completely that perfect, but, that's kind of the approach. I like to take the approach of going back to the basics. How have human beings functioned and survived for decades, you know?
Right.
We eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, our bodies are designed, you know, we wake up and we're hungry in the morning, you know, and then we get that energy, and then it kind of drops off, and our liver tries to kind of step in and get us some glucose, right? But then, you know, it's like, we need a snack. And it'll get us to lunch. You know, it's just, that's the normal function of our bodies. And so what I try to do really and truly with my program is I try to just get people eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, the crazy thing is once I can get someone eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they will be hungry in the morning. Once they start eating breakfast, because a lot of people try to like adjust their bodies and they'll be like, oh, now I'm not hungry in the morning because I just haven't eaten it in so long. Right. The reality is that if you can jumpstart, you know, your metabolism and get everything moving first thing in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Then you're burning energy from like right when you wake up in the morning. And then what you're doing is you're building a very consistent schedule for your body to know and trust you and say, I know I'm getting breakfast here. I know when I feel hungry, I'm going to get a snack. Then I'm going to get lunch. And then if I get hungry, I'm going to get a snack, and then I'll get dinner. And what this tells our bodies is essentially, when I'm hungry and when I need energy, I will get food. So therefore, if I need to burn fat, then I can, and I know that I'm still going to get fed.
Right.
Because what we don't want to go into a starvation or a survival mode where your body starts holding on to stuff and saying, No. Like, I don't know when I'm going to get my next meal. I don't know how much I'm going to get. Like, your body is not fully functioning how it really is designed to function when you're taking out meals. If you're not consistent and you're wanting to lose weight, you've got to show up. You got to show up for your body and say, hey, here's our schedule, you're getting food, this is what we're doing, and right. your metabolism will get moving, and your body will feel confident that it can actually burn the energy that it's storing for you know, the survival days.
Exactly. You know, I find the hardest thing is like a lot of times is trying to, a lot of times I'll get cravings at night, even when I'm not really that hungry. It's just because I know I'm relaxing. Let's say it's right before bed. I'm relaxing. I'm watching my last couple of shows and just lying there. I just want to eat something, and not all the time I'm hungry. It's just, I'm visualizing, like, you know, just like eating something. And it's like, yeah, I want a snack. I want a snack. I want a snack, you know? And then I had a friend of mine say, well, try to imagine yourself of what you really want to look like, you know, on the beach, you know, when the summertime comes, you know, and use that as a, you know, and so like a motivator. And, you know, what's your opinion about late night snacking? Like, cause so many people, that's, you know, you're good all day. And then people screw up at night because they get those cravings at night.
Yeah. So the thing with late night snacking or eating late, a lot of people say, oh, if I eat late at night, like I, you know, I'm going to gain weight. The yeah. reality is in terms of the research and kind of how it's changed, right, is that you can eat later. Technically, they're saying a calorie is a calorie. If you're eating more calories, you're going to gain weight, right? But what right. usually happens with people is when you're eating later at night, you know, you're starting to get tired. You're, like you said, you're relaxing, you're watching TV. Eating becomes a little bit more emotional. It becomes less about need and it becomes more about emotion. And so if you're snacking late at night, you are consuming more calories and you will gain weight. Right. But ultimately, I mean, the ultimate goal in terms of, you know, helping with late night cravings or that, you know, there's different strategies that you can use. Sometimes it's a habit. You're like, I sit down with my husband and we watch this, you know, we watch this TV show and we eat a bowl of ice cream, right? It's like, sometimes it's a habit, but you're still associating it with a connection. It's still associated with an emotion, right? So ultimately the ultimate goal and way to overcome that is really diving into the emotion. And how do we start, you know, how do you start separating the emotion of, okay, the joy can really actually come from me sitting next to my husband and spending time with him and having that connection. We don't actually have to have food to be happy and to feel relaxed, right? And so starting to help yourself kind of work through those emotions and creating this divide of like, I don't have to, you know, it's like my food and what I'm putting into my body, my physical health doesn't need to be attached to emotion. It should always be attached to meeting the need that it's meant to meet, which is when you're hungry and your body needs energy, you give it food. But we try to take food out of all of the other emotion and find the emotion in what you should actually be getting the emotion from. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. It does make sense. I think that's a great way to break some of those bad habits. It's just, you know, like you said, if you're sitting next to your husband or you're sitting next to your partner, you know, like, don't think about it. You don't get out of that emotional thoughts of, you know, okay, I, you know, I really would love a snack, and, you know, and then you're thinking about, you know, that this is a bad habit that you've consistently, just like if you want to stop drinking something, or, you know, it's like you created a bad habit that you're so used to, you know, like I would get up in the morning, I'd have my coffee, and then, you know, and then when I cut down on coffee, and I only drink a very little bit now, but it was like, it was hard to break that bad habit of not having that coffee when I first woke up, because it was, I really needed it. I just needed to wake up, but I made it part of my daily lifestyle. And it's like, it was kind of like, yeah, you have to kind of, you know, break it up, and I guess, and then just replace it with something, a healthy behavior, or, you know, and something else. And it kind of like reverse your thoughts and reverse your actions, it seems like, from what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, there are some people where they're like, you know, it's like, I need a sweet at night. Like, I need it, you know? And I mean, there are ways to address that too. It's like, okay, if we're deciding, like, you're having a scoop of ice cream every night, you know, and it's like, no way, no how, like, this isn't going out of my life. Well, then we need to find a way to fit it in. And if we're finding a way to fit it in, then that ice cream has to fit into your calories, right? Yeah. This ice cream isn't above and beyond. If we're going to fit it in, right? You have to fit it in, which means you have to give up something else. There's no, right. like, there's no compromise there. It's like, if you're going to eat all of this food and still want your ice cream, you can't have it all and not gain weight. You're consuming too many calories. So there's different things that you can do, right? There's a lot of different strategies and everyone's different. Everyone's unique. But ultimately, you know, habits can be changed. That's the bottom line. We can change habits, but it takes consistency and it takes work. And one thing, you know, that I've done as well is like, if I go through a period of time where like, yeah, I am sitting on the couch watching TV and I've got cravings, you know, it's like, gosh, I want ice cream. You know, or I want something in my mouth, you know, I always have like a little thing of like icebreaker mints. I get like the fruity ones, you know, or the sour ones. And I'll just, you know, I'll get three of them. They're less than 5 calories a piece. And while we're sitting there, you know, I'll just pop one in and suck on it, you know, and it almost, you know, satisfies that, like, I want something in my mouth right now, you know, but I'm not hungry. I don't need food. go ahead.
No, I actually do the same thing.
Yeah. And so it's just, you know, it's finding what's going to work for you. There's not one cookie cutter thing that's like a cure all is going to make this huge dramatic difference for everyone. But there are processes and we all do function, you know, our brains function in a very similar way. And so there are ways to overcome, you know, those habits, those, that comfort, that emotional eating, those types of things.
Now, you know, we've talked about nutrition and we talked about losing weight. And I think one important topic we maybe want to touch base on is that so many people are, you know, we tripled in the nation with diabetes. And so many people are either on the borderline where they're pre-diabetes or they're diabetic, and it's diet related, the foods they're putting in their mouth. You know, and you know, those pasta, those rices, and you know, other things that convert to sugar. You know, what are your suggestions to people who are either like pre-diabetic or have diabetes? Because diabetes really goes throughout the whole body and could destroy the whole body. You know, do you have suggestions, any types of nutritional tips that you could tell them to maybe help them on their way to maybe either getting their levels back to normal, or maybe, you know, not being pre-diabetic and making their numbers go down so they can actually not have to worry about diabetes?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So with diabetes, obviously we're concerned about carbs, right? We're concerned about sugar. We don't want to be spiking our blood glucose. And a lot of times that's what actually leads people to diabetes, is that they constantly have these huge spikes in blood glucose. So a term that I'll introduce is that foods have a glycemic index. And basically what this means is when you consume a certain food, based on how much, you know, based on essentially how quickly that food is able to spike your blood sugar, determines what the glycemic index is, right? Yeah. So if you're eating straight sugar, glycemic index, it is high. It's going to shoot to the roof, right? And that's essentially what that does, is it starts to desensitize our cells. And so, you know, leading essentially to diabetes. Okay. Right. So really and truly with diabetes, like, of course you're decreasing your carbohydrates, but what you want to do again is gravitate towards, number one, your complex carbohydrates. If you eat like a whole wheat piece of bread, as opposed to a piece of cake, right? Your glycemic index and how quickly those things are spiking your blood glucose are very, very different. Okay. Yes. So if you're eating carbohydrates that are complex, it takes your body a lot longer to digest them, to break them down, and to absorb them. Okay. So you're not spiking your blood glucose with those carbohydrates. So you want to focus on very complex carbohydrates.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Another thing that you can do as well is when you are eating, you know, high fiber foods, when you're eating protein and you eat those with, you know, with your carbohydrates, that also decreases the glycemic index. So all of these things, it takes more time for your body to break them down, digest them, and absorb them, which keeps that glycemic index low. So that's really, you know, in terms of diabetes, I mean, I always say, like, you know, try to keep your carbohydrates below 160 grams a day, right? And that's still a decent amount. You're eating a moderate amount of carbohydrates, but just make sure that they're complex carbohydrates and that you're eating them in a way that's not constantly spiking your blood glucose. Yeah.
Right. No, that's great advice. That's great advice. Cause you know, it scares me when I see those, you know, statistics, you know, especially, you know, in our food industry, the way, you know, the way we make foods and the preservatives we put into foods and everyone's on a go, 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 rush, rush, rush. And, you know, so many foods are processed and, you know, people don't even realize what they're eating and they think it's healthy, you know, and cause it might say the word lean on it, or it might say, you know, healthy on it, you know, so they think they're doing something good for themselves when they're actually not, you know. And the best way to eat is, I think, naturally, you know. And you know, it's really to take, you know, if you could take at least one day out of the week to prepare things, and they can just, you could put them in the freezer, you could take them out, you know. And you know, a lot of European, you know, families do that. They'll make everything, they'll put it in the freezer, they'll take it out, they'll heat it up and cook it, you know, add some spices to it, and you wouldn't even know that it was in the freezer, you know. And yep. You could have food for the week, you know. And if you really want to be healthy, you know, you just have to put a little bit into it, and you can just change your whole life, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. And kind of along those lines of like, okay, well, how do I prepare food so that I am actually eating healthy? Yeah. One of the things that like, so yes, you know, you can definitely meal prep and you can prepare a bunch of stuff at the beginning of the week. Sometimes people have a hard time with that because they're like, gosh, well, how do I get like that amount of time where I can actually do that? And so another option of something that you could do, and this is essentially how I cook. Basically what I do is, number one, I choose my protein. What's my protein going to be for this meal, right? Am I going to have, you know, ground beef, lean ground beef? Am I going to have ground turkey? Am I going to have chicken? Am I going to have fish? Am I going to, you know, it's like, what is the protein going to be? And then from there, I bulk cook my protein because I'm here cooking, right? I'm taking the time to cook. So why not cook enough for this meal? Mm-hmm. And leftovers, and also for the next meal and leftovers that I'm going to make. So when I cook, I'm cooking, you know, it's like 3 or 4 pounds of ground beef. And then I'm going to season this half as taco meat, and we're going to have tacos and we'll have leftovers for a little bit. And then this one, when I'm ready, I'm going to pull it out of the, you know, and I just did this last week, pull it out of the fridge and throw in some beans and tomatoes and onions and make chili. Right. Yeah. And so then, like for me and my husband, like that's all we had to have for the entire week. And I cooked for 30 minutes. So, you know, it was like having focus on your protein and bulk prep your protein. And then it's super, super easy to just throw it into a meal. Right. And you can do that once, you know, two times throughout the week. And if you make enough time, it's all going to cook the same. It's going to take the same amount of time, you know. And so that's how I do it. And we really don't spend that much time cooking, but we always have healthy meals that are available for us at home.
Right. I think that's a great idea. And I know, especially when all my kids lived at home, I used to use the crock pot and the steamer all the time. And I had a cookbook. You could make, I don't think people realize it, but it's not just for soups and stews, but you could make anything in a crock pot. Like I had a recipe book where you could even make a meatloaf in a crock pot. Like you could take turkey, you know, like, you know, so if someone doesn't want to use beef, they could use turkey meat. And actually you can, it shows you, you know, you can you make it, you put it on low. So it's cooking very slowly. You put your ingredients and whatever else you put in there, and it's soaking in, and then, you know, the last 15 minutes you put it on high, and by the end, you know, after 6 hours of it in the crock pot, it was like a beautiful meatloaf. You'd never even know that it was in a crock pot. And you could go to work, you can come home, and it's still cooking on low, and it has all the ingredients and whatever else you have to put in it. And you could do that. They had like every meal you could think of, they had that you could make in a crock pot, you know. And then you have like the steamer. Like if you're in a rush and you don't have time, you want to just steam the vegetables and maybe put some nice spices on it or something like that, just to give it some flavor. You could do that too. Like there's lots of easy ways you could eat healthy, you know, just figuring it out and just being inspired, you know. I think it's some good ways to do it. Now, if we had to take, you know, like everything we talked about today, what are some things that you really like to emphasize that you think really could help people, the listeners today, about nutrition?
I would say the most important thing that you could do in terms of starting to eat healthier is to follow the psychology of how the human brain works and choose one or two habits that you want to work to develop, and don't add anything else on board until those feel natural. Try to master it first. So yeah. if the first thing is, hey, like I'm eating out all the time. So let's start with, say, let's try cooking one or two meals at home. Let's start with that first so that you can kind of start to get in the rhythm of it, right? So that it starts to feel a little bit easier, a little bit more comfortable. Once that feels comfortable, let's try to add something else in. Maybe we're adding in a couple more nights that you're like, hey, like we're gonna eat at home for 4 nights. Or yeah. Maybe it's as simple as, you know what, I'm gonna decrease my portion of carbohydrates, and I'm gonna increase my veggies and my protein at dinner. You know, it's like keeping it small, but focusing on one thing. And realizing that this is we're working for the long haul. We're working for sustainable results. And the way that your body is going to stick with you instead of trying to fight against you is if you make it a process. If you allow your body to actually adjust as you're making changes, it's not going to retaliate against you while you're trying to reach your goals.
Oh, 100%. I think that's great advice. Now, can you tell everybody about the services that you offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a 16-week program. I call it a whole health transformation program. We do help people with weight loss, and that's usually why, you know, individuals come into our program. But there's so much more to the weight loss process than just changing the food that goes into your mouth and doing exercise. So we really help people to dive into the really important aspects of what's going to help you to be successful long term. Because if you don't do those things, you're just going to get stuck in this cycle and in this yo-yo. So we have to look at behaviors. We have to look at the emotions and why we're doing the things that we're doing, as well as having the education. You've got to know how to do it yourself if you're going to do it for the rest of your life. So everything that we do, it's all put together to give you the support and the accountability that you need to follow through, but also equip you with all of the tools, skills, and resources that you actually need to be able to get the weight off and maintain it for the rest of your life.
Right. Exactly. Now, where can people find you?
Yeah, the best place to find me is on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @mywholeandhappylife. And then you can also go to my website, which is the same. It's mywholeandhappylife.com. So you can always reach out to me on Instagram. We set up a free initial call with anyone that wants to talk with our team and see kind of where they're at and learn more about our program and see if we would be a good fit for them. So yeah, check out my Instagram. You can also, you know, send a message through a contact form on our website or book a call. You're welcome. Always welcome to book a call.
That's awesome. Oh my God, this has been amazing. You have provided us today with such great advice. I'm so glad you came on the show today and talked about nutrition, because it is so important, because I think, you know, people, you know, forget, you know, what real nutrition really is, because, you know, between the fake news, the conflicting information, you know, the fast food and all the other, you know, market employees that they put on the food, it's really hard to, you know what is good and what is not. And I think you've made it very clear today. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge. And everyone, remember, she has her own podcast. Whitney Prude has her own podcast. You'll see her on The Advisor, and you'll see her podcast. Take a look at it, because it's amazing. And thank you so much for coming back on the show and talking about this. It's so important that people understand what nutrition is and how to go about it. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
How to have fun, anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Shooting drills.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve.
Go.
but one who genuinely cares about each player.
You have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.